Okay. So, Mr. Perriello, thanks for speaking with the Voice of America News.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let me ask you, you just came back from Burundi and the Great Lakes region. What is your assessment of the situation in Burundi?
We are deeply concerned about the political crisis and the humanitarian crisis in Burundi. We still believe there's a path forward, but it has to be one in which all Burundian leaders agree to a political dialogue and the important leadership that the region has shown through the East African Community resumes with some urgency to address a situation where you've seen over 200,000, approximately 200,000 refugees already and ongoing sporadic violence.
There has been violence, increasing violence, and some Burundians I spoke with are concerned that the country could be slowly getting to the civil war that, you know, pretty much ended in 2005. And they're scared that, you know, they don't want a repetition of that. What would you do to resolve the situation, looking at what is going on? Because there's mediation, all right, but it seemed not to be going anywhere.
Well, I share the sense that we heard from so many Burundians that there's a deep fear. Here's a country that's actually made tremendous progress going forward since its civil war on the foundations of the Arusha Accords, of moving beyond some of the ethnic and other divisions to see some real promise. And it would be a tremendous shame to see backsliding, which we've already begun to see. But so far, almost all leaders have called for calm, including President Nkurunziza, in the wake of some very high-profile assassination and assassination attempts, including against the country's leading human rights activist, a tremendously courageous man who was shot through the face the other day. So Burundians need to continue to hear those calls for calm, and the path forward is not only one of political dialogue, but one that has to be built on those foundations that helped move the country beyond the civil war previously.
Opponents of President Nkurunziza have expressed concern that the issues that really precipitated or caused these problems are yet to be resolved. And they ask the international community, why not an intervention to save the country?
Well, the United States and the international community are ready to support the regional leadership to force this political dialogue forward that is so important. And I think one of the important issues that you raise is that we're not going to solve all of these issues before the dialogue begins. The point of the dialogue is to address these extremely difficult questions that continue to remain under the surface of this political crisis. But people need to come to the table. We've seen very constructive steps forward when the East African community and South Africa and others have been a constructive part of this. So we are eager to see that resume with some urgency and stand ready to support it.
You know, the EAC chose President Museveni of Uganda to be the mediator of the talks. However, today, former President Domitien Ndayizeye said that they needed a more higher profile individual to mediate between the talks, because they think that President Museveni is somewhat biased towards President Nkurunziza. So the question is, what can the U.S. do to help build some confidence among these opponents to resolve the crisis?
Well, first of all, I think President Museveni's interventions have been extremely constructive at various points in this process. We've also seen an extremely important role played by other neighbors as well as South Africa at key points. And I think the United States and the international community are less dedicated to a specific individual or process than the overall momentum to resume this political dialogue with regional leadership from the EAC, from the AU. And that has to resume with a sense of urgency and importance, because we do see things escalating. Again, we're not past the point of no return. We can see that kind of solution going forward in a country that, again, has made great progress in recent years.
The opponents of the president say that the Imbonerakure, the militia, who they describe as the Fosiers, have been armed and causing a lot of problems in the country. You were there. What were some of their concerns they expressed to you?
Well, we were deeply concerned. You could feel a high level of tension and anxiety, and we hear regular reports not only of gunfire or other events, but of people, including youth militias, having been amassed, ready for a spark that may or may not come. All of these are the reasons why Burundian leaders on all sides, regional leaders in the international community, have to be engaged with some urgency on finding a path forward. I think when people see a path going forward, a political path, they are less likely to resort to other means that we think could quickly escalate this situation. So we need to see leaders, again, on all sides calling for calm among their supporters But even more importantly, then taking the step forward to show that there's a real chance of a political dialogue to solve this.
Some Burundians have called on the U.S. to put pressure on the government and the opposition leaders to compromise, to resolve this impasse. What is your take?
The United States has been very clear that it stands ready to support any path forward and stands extremely concerned about the escalation of violence and tactics. We condemned not only the assassination of General Adolf, but the attack on the courageous human rights leader who was shot through the face just a couple of days ago. So we do continue to be engaged very directly, but ultimately the responsibility is with Burundian leaders on all sides who need to show the courage that it takes to come back to the table to resume this dialogue and find a path forward. And regional leaders have been essential to that in the past and remain essential to that today.
Now, President Nkurunziza's government accused neighboring Rwanda of being a negative force or influence in the country, stopped short of calling them or fomenting their trouble in Burundi. When you met them, did they express such to you? And what will America possibly do about that?
Well, I think some of the rhetoric we've seen on all sides has been very positive and de-escalating, and other remarks have been more escalatory in nature. And I think right now what we most want to see from leaders on all sides is that call for calm and that commitment to a political process forward. Again, so far we have seen many, particularly in the opposition and in the military and elsewhere, hold together across ethnic lines. That's extremely important. But this is all happening in the context of a very fragile economy of over 200,000 refugees who've already left the country. These are innocent civilians who are very much at risk in a fragile country. So time is not our friend in this, and that's why I think the United States and so many in Burundi are calling for regional leadership to help support the kind of political dialogue we need going forward.
Do you think the EAC, for that matter, the African Union, are doing enough to help resolve the crisis in Burundi?
What I know is that when the EAC and the AU have shown leadership in the region, it's been extremely positive. We see that in the recent past with the Arusha Accords that helped move the country beyond war, but also at key moments in the last couple of years and couple of months. So we are urgently ready to support a resumption of that kind of strong leadership from across the region and across the AU. And that's got to happen here really in a matter of days and weeks, not months or years, if we're going to ensure that Burundi gets back on a solid path forward.
Now, let's move to Rwanda. Rwanda is a strong ally of the U.S. The democratic process there, some people have expressed concern that dissent is being stifled in that country, especially when there are calls. About 3 million people have petitioned the parliament to change the constitution that will allow President Kagame to run for an unprecedented third term. What is the message of the U.S. to the government in Kigali?
Well, President Obama spoke in forceful terms from Addis to not just any one leader, but really to all leaders around the world about the importance of strong institutions, not strong men in politics, and why constitutional term limits, including our own here in the United States, are ultimately so important for going forward. We have expressed concerns evenly across the region, including concerns about any changes to the Rwandan constitution on term limits, but also spoke directly to the concern in Burundi, calling that out by name. So President Obama has made very clear why he thinks this is an important component of constitutionalism going forward in any country, and why people anywhere in the world deserve that kind of democratic accountable governance.
When you met folks in Rwanda, what did they tell you about the democratic process in Rwanda?
Well, I think, first of all, we heard a tremendous amount of concern about instability across the border, particularly in Burundi. We've seen positive leadership, particularly from Rwanda and Tanzania, but also the DRC, on taking the refugee flows in. Unfortunately, it's not the first time these countries have had to deal with these kinds of refugee flows, and the international community greatly appreciates that. There will be a continued democratic debate there, including on the issues that you've raised. It's going to be important, like in any other country, that people have their full civic and political rights to participate.
So going forward, what should the people of Burundi, as well as the people of Rwanda, expect from Washington in terms of cooperating and building up institutions and moving their democratic process forward?
Well, the United States has been a huge contributor in the region to humanitarian aid, to economic development, and I think ultimately people everywhere, and particularly throughout the Great Lakes, want that. They want to see economic development across borders that helps give people a better life, and the United States is investing in that. But we know one component of that is good governance, accountable democratic governance, and making sure that we don't see backsliding into conflict and particularly some of the divisions we've seen in the past on ethnic and other lines. So the United States stands ready to be a partner for political solutions forward that ensure that we're looking to a great future of the Great Lakes, of greater prosperity, and not a return to some of the nightmares of the past.
Thank you very much, Mr. Perillo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.